I'm going to read first before we get to James. Proverbs 31, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. And then later on it says, where is it? She watches over the affairs of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward that she has earned, and let her works praise her, or bring her praise at the city gate. So happy Mother's Day to all you moms, and you kids need to rise up and call her blessed. Husbands too, it says. Her husband also. So some of you, like myself, my mom's passed away, but you have moms that you can encourage and bless in lots of different ways. I was thinking about Connie. You know, she was like my number three mom. Number one was my real mom. Number two was Barbara. It was my second mom, and Connie was like number three mom. And I don't want to hurt Connie's feelings that she's number three or anything, but she is so sweet. We talked to them the other day, so, and they're doing well, but we do miss them. So we miss you guys if you're watching. Let's open our Bibles now, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We're just marching right along here in this book of James. Last week, Patrick talked about, in the first three verses, he talked about the source of our quarrels and the cure for them. So where, what is the source of our quarrels and fights? It comes within. It's from us. It's our own desires that battle within us, that fight within us. It's not from God. It's from us. These fights and quarrels that we have. Envy, the coveting. He says you kill and you covet. You cannot have what you want. And so the cure, and Patrick did a great job on this message last week, it says that the word says to ask God. But he also says, you know, watch your motives when you're asking, that what you ask for isn't just some selfish thing that you want. But he said even ask about that. Even talk about that, even pray about that. Well, you know, pray. We pray God, you know, search my heart like David did in Psalm 139. Search me, know me, test me, try my heart. And that gets to the motives that we have. Why do we want stuff? So today he moves on to a different subject. And like I said, this is not necessarily a Mother's Day message. It's pretty blunt and hard-hitting and a lot of ways, but the topic, the name that I've given it today is Choose Your Friends Wisely. How many of you heard that when you were growing up? Your parents told you that, somebody told you that, a teacher, somebody. Choose your friends wisely, and it's really important. It really is. And we have a choice who we hang out with. And who we hang out with affects us. Verse, I got some scriptures on the board for you. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So you might have all the best character in the world, but you hang out with people, bad company, we will be corrupted. You can't help. It kind of rubs off on us. So we have to be careful who we're hanging out with. Proverbs 13, another verse says there, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Walk with the wise and become wise. You walk with those that are not wise and you're going to become just like them, in other words. And then the last one in Proverbs, he says the righteous should choose his friends carefully. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. We need to choose our friends wisely. Choose our friends wisely. That's an important thing. You say, well, what does that have to do with James and what he's talking about? Well, let's read and find out what he says here in James chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. He says this, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely?" Like I said, this is not a Mother's Day message, right? But he's talking about choices that we make, and who's our friends here? Are we a friend of the world, or are we a friend of God? It's kind of black and white. James, that's the way James kind of looks at things, right? You're either here or you're there. You're not kind of in the middle. You need to choose one, choose the other. But he starts off with this, I mean, you adulterous people, like, wow. That's how he's going to reach the people, by calling them adulterous people? James, again, he's very hard-hitting sometimes, and someone said it's a shocking word, but it's got a purpose to jar us, to awaken us to what the truth is. How are we living? What kind of life do we really have? Who is our friends? Who are our friends? Barbara used to correct my English all the time, but she was my mom, so she could get away with it. And David Guzik pointed out that, you know, even in the early church there, things were not all good. There was carnality. There were people, you know, that were, you know, in this situation that he's addressing. He didn't say this just for the sake of saying it. There was a need there. And no matter what, you and I need to hear these words, because maybe we're not in that situation now, but we may be tempted in some future point. So does he have our attention now? That's the question. He says, "You adulterous people." You know, we know about this term adultery, and it basically, in a simple definition, would be, you know, to have relations with someone who is not your spouse, right? Relations with someone who is not your spouse. Now, you know, in the world today, you know, it's becoming more and more common. It doesn't have quite the effect that it did at one point in time. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah 54 that our Maker, he says, your Maker is your husband. And the Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He's called the God of all the earth. So this is where James is coming from, you see. You adulterous people. Well, God is our husband. God is the one that we belong to. We are his, the Bible says. We've been bought with a price. And so for us to go other directions, that's spiritual adultery, which we'll talk about in a while as well. Giving other things or people God's place in our hearts and lives. Matthew Henry, he said, setting the world upon God's throne in our hearts. There can only be one on the throne in the heart. We all have this throne, and Annie was kind of praying about this spot inside of us that can only be filled with God. There can only be one on the throne. There's a lot of things that want to take the place of God on the throne of our hearts. And what might they be? Well, the world, right? What else? It starts off with us being on the throne, right? Me, myself, and I. And then we surrender to God and we say, God, I want you to be the king in my life. I want you on the throne. I want you. More love, more power, more of you in my life. James says, don't you know? Like, don't you already know? You know, haven't you been around long enough to see this, that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? You can't do both. And he's talking about, now is he talking about the world, the planet? No, he's not talking about the planet. I love this planet. I mean, you know, you see these pictures of the planet. It's like, it's beautiful. It's incredible. This is what God created. It's incredible. I like looking up in the at night and seeing, you know, the moon and the stars and the planets. I don't know that they're planets until I get my little app out, right, and point it up. Oh, that's Venus. Oh, that's Mars. And you can tell. And that's really cool. But he's not talking about the world that's created. He's talking about the people and this world system that's alienated against God, that is fighting against him. Really, that's in rebellion against him. This world system around us is not a God-loving system. And again, James is kind of trying to wake us up, like, don't you know, can't you see it, what's going on here? Earlier in the book of James, chapter 1, he says that part of true religion is to keep ourselves unspotted by the world, or from the world. That's part of what truly following and truly being religious in the good sense is you know, taking care of orphans and widows, and he says to keep yourself unspotted from the world, that we're not totally affected by the world around us, that we choose our friends. He says friendship with the world is like hatred toward God. It's enmity. It's hostility. And what he's saying is that you can't love both. You can't serve two masters. Isn't that what Jesus said? Now, James, we know James was the half-brother of Jesus, so I think maybe he got some of this directly from his brother, right? But that's what Jesus said, right? Matthew chapter 6. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve both. So he says, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world. See, it's a choice we make. We make daily choices, you know. It's really kind of even hourly choices. Well, am I going to do that? Am I going to go there? Am I going to watch that? Am I going to listen to that? Am I going to hang out with that person or this other person? Now, let me make it clear that Jesus said, you know, he's not telling us to go off and isolate ourselves in some monastery. He's not telling us to do that. He says, you know, I'm not praying for us, his people, that we would be taken out of the world, but that we would be in the world, but not what? Of the world. We're called to be here, and we're called to bring a witness of the life and the light of Jesus to the world around us. But that doesn't mean that we hang around with the world and get involved in all the activities. Well, I'm just going to go hang out at the bar and just drink it up with them so that I can reach people. No, that's not what he's talking about. It's a choice. The New King James says, translates it like this: anyone who wants to be a friend of the world. New American Standard, same thing. Anyone who wants to be. It's something you want, something you choose. Well, I want everybody to like me. I want the world to like me. I want to get the adoration of the world around me. I want to make a lot of money in the world. I want all the things the world has to offer. So I'm going to sacrifice everything I have, compromise every part of who I am so that I can get and be and do and get. You know, do you see what I'm saying? What do we choose? Who do we choose? Who do we want to be our friend? Do we want to be like Lot, right? You know the story of Lot, Abraham and Lot in the book of Genesis, and go read it. It's incredible. But Lot, Abraham's nephew, right? He looked and he saw the world, really, and that's what he chose. And Abraham said, oh, I'm happy over here. And Lot You know, he went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And you know the rest of the story. But Abraham, on the other hand, what does the Bible say about Abraham? He was the friend of God. The friend of God. He made his choice. That's not what I want down there. I want to be a friend of God. I want to be tied with him. That's what I want. This is a choice that we make. God doesn't force us to live like that. God doesn't force us to do these different things. But James, you know, again, James, like, he's like, tells you just the way it is. You know, Pastor Chuck, he was the most gentle, gracious man that you could ever meet. But his assistant pastor, his name was Romaine. And Romaine would hit you right between the eyes and say, listen up, this, you need to do this. James is kind of like that. To choose the world says we become an enemy of God. Is that what we choose? Notice the first thing he says, you know, he calls them adulterers, and then he says, if you choose the world, you become an enemy. An adulterer and an enemy. That's not, I don't want to be called that. So what does this mean to be worldly? You know, we hear this term in church sometimes. Oh, that's worldly. Or you know, you're caught up in worldliness. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. Just kidding. Matthew Henry said this, and I like what he said, and this is, you know, going back hundreds of years. He said, it means to give our best affections to the world, to set our heart upon it, to place happiness in it, to conform to it, to do anything rather than lose its friendship. That's being worldly. Our hearts are given over to it. That's what worldly means. Doesn't mean that you wear a certain kind of clothes or, you know, you listen to a certain kind of music. Those things might be affected by it, but it's a matter of the heart. It's always a matter of the heart. That's why James talks about, you know, the choosing and what we choose, what we love. Verse 5, again, he says, this is an interesting verse, but verse 5, he says this, or do you think Scripture says without reason? Scripture doesn't ever say anything without reason. That the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely. Now, this is a difficult, you read the commentators, it's difficult to translate this particular verse, and you see it translated differently in different versions or whatever, but they're really kind of two main things, and I think that both of them are true. Number one, if you look at it in terms of our spirit, the spirit that he caused to live in us, that envies intensely, it envies the world and what the world wants. You read in Psalm 73, the psalmist said, you know, he was looking around at the world and the people in the world, and they, you know, they were doing so well. They had, you know, they were so prosperous. They were getting everything. But then God opened his eyes. He says, but then I saw their end. And he was completely, you know, humbled, like, oh, God, forgive me that I would, you know, even think like this. But the truth of the matter is our flesh, the sinful nature that we have, and that really goes back to the first part of chapter 4, we kind of want the stuff the world has. We kind of want to be, you know, famous. We kind of want to have a lot of money, be in the billionaire camp. Don't tell me you never thought about this. Well, if only I had $1 million. Well, if I, you know, I mean, I don't know the number of billionaires in the world today, but there's a lot. What are they going to do with all that money? I'm not a huge fan of Bill Gates, I'll be honest with you. But he says he's going to give 99% of his money away before he dies to different things. Well, that's not good, right? But how much do you really need? But there's this thing in our flesh, I really need that particular thing. I really want. But we got to be careful. Like, who's on the throne? Who's telling us what we want? Is it my own sinful human nature, or is it the world? Or is it the enemy whispering? Or do we want what God wants? The second way of looking at it is, if you would look at this in terms of the Holy Spirit, where that word for Spirit is, he's talking about the Holy Spirit within us, that God, by His Spirit, He jealously longs for us, for our devotion, for our love, for our faithfulness to Him. So you see what I mean? They're both true. There's this envying of our own spirit, our own flesh, and could want what the world wants. But I like the second one here, that God, by His Spirit, He longs for us. He really does. He really longs for our worship in our lives and our hearts. That's what He desires. You read verses in the Old Testament, and it says that God is a jealous God. You say, well, that's not so good, is it? But when you think about it, and when you think about who God is jealous for us because He wants the best for us. And He's jealous for us for our good, not because He's just jealous, like the way we think of jealousy. He knows what the dangers are of this world around us. Deuteronomy 32, it says, they made Him jealous with their foreign gods and angered Him with their detestable idols. They're just idols. They're just, false gods. The gods of the world around them, and they were buying into that kind of thing. You have your little bulletin in front of you. I want to read something off there, this first part. This idea of spiritual adultery. And God Questions, great, great website. This is what they said there in the first part of this. It says, unfaithfulness to God. What's spiritual adultery? Unfaithfulness to God, having an undue fondness for the things of the world. Then he talks about, that this world being the system of evil that is under Satan's control. You see, the Bible says in John that Satan is the ruler of this world. He's the spirit, the prince of the power of the air. This is his world. This is his thing here. Now, his days are numbered, right? We already know that. The Bible, we know the rest of the story. But to think that, the world is all good, everybody is all good, it's all good, is not all good. James is saying, open your eyes, he's saying. The world with its contrived and deceitful scheme of phony values. Listen to this. Worthless pursuits and unnatural affections is designed to lure us away from a pure relationship with God. That's a powerful statement right there. That's why I had to put it in here so you could see it. It's designed to lure us away from a pure relationship with God. In 2 Timothy, Paul talks about a guy named Demas. He said Demas was in love with the world, and he deserted Paul. He was in love with the world. The world got a hold of him. John, we studied this a long time ago. Patrick taught about this as well. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides
forever. This describes our society, verse 16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's what we see. That's our it. It's our world. Unless you don't have a TV set, unless you don't have a cell phone, unless you don't see any of the things around you, you wouldn't know any of that. But turn the TV set on, what are you going to see? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Start looking at Facebook. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We're so completely surrounded by this. John said, don't love this. Because you can't have both. Love for the Father. He says, you're not loving the Father if you're loving these things. If you're caught up in these things, if you're sucked into. And as God questions, says, they're designed to pull us away. Someone said this, it's no more right for a Christian to love both God and the world than for a man to have two wives. How does that work out if you have two wives? It doesn't work out too well. I mean, some of the guys in the Bible had this problem, and we see that it was a serious problem. That's why God's plan is one man and one woman for life. That's God's plan and purpose. He said, this is the way I ordained it. Go back and read Genesis chapter 2, you'll see. But when we try to have both, God questions, goes on, he says, believers committing spiritual adultery may claim to love the Lord. Oh, I love Jesus. But in reality, they are captivated by the pleasures of this world, its influences, comforts, financial security, and so-called freedoms, trying to straddle the fence with one foot in the world and the other in heaven. He says, we can't have both. You can't do both. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in a walk with Jesus. That's why James, you know, he's saying you gotta get this straight. You gotta figure this out. You gotta open your eyes and listen. You can't do both. Choose your friends wisely. There is kind of a progression that I've seen. You know, where we start to become friendly with the things of the world and we begin to love the things of the world and then we start to be conformed. Paul said in Romans 12, don't be conformed to the world. Don't let it, a friend of ours used to translate it, don't let it push you into its mold. Because that's what it is designed to do. That's what its desire is to do, to make you like it. And James is saying, do not let it make you like it. As I said earlier, Jesus said to be in the world, but not of the world. So, we got to choose our friends wisely, right? Joshua chapter 24, you can read it. Joshua said the same thing to the people of Israel. He says this, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, he was speaking a specific day and time there, but I think it's a daily decision. Choose you this day, today, who are you going to serve? Who am I going to serve? You wake up in the morning, who am I going to serve today? It's a daily choice, and sometimes it's even hourly and even, you know, repeatedly, But Joshua said this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a choice, isn't it? He's making a choice, right? As for me and my house, and there's something about, you know, leadership in the home, I believe. What do you allow into your home? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's who we're going to serve. That's my choice. That's what I choose. Choose your friends. Are you going to you love the world or are you going to love God? Are you going to follow Him? I'm saying these things because I know I've been around a long time. I know what it's like to battle with these things, to battle the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's an ongoing battle. But don't give up. And even if you stumble and fall, the way for forgiveness and the way for restoration is right there. Just God will lift you right back up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, first of all. It all starts with you and the fact that you love us, that you sent your Son to die in our place for our sins, that we could be forgiven and that we could have eternal life. You rose from the dead, Jesus, so that death would be defeated, have no more power over us as we trust in you. But Lord, we come to you, we confess, and this hits us right between the eyes. We live in America, and it's not the Christian nation that maybe it perhaps once was, but it's full of the world. Help us to navigate it. Help us to be committed in who we are going to be, how we're going to walk. What kind of life are we going to live in this world? Help us, Lord. We need your help. Our flesh is weak. Jesus said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and we confess that to you, Lord. Help us to make those choices that honor you. Choose you. As for me and my house, we'll serve you. We'll follow you. We'll be different. We'll be just like the world. We'll be in the world, but not of the world. Help us with that, Lord. I pray today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.